mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a couple minutes ago, each of us confessed our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. To be crucified was to be nailed to a large cross and then hoisted into the air, and then you are left to die an excruciating, painful death. Such a fate awaited our Lord. But at the time of our text, his time had not yet come. It was time, however, to catechize Nicodemus, a member of the Pharisees and a secret follower of Jesus. Nicodemus, well, he knew the scriptures, but he didn't understand them. He was unable to see that the scriptures have all of their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, the long-promised Messiah. He wanted to understand, but he had this large mental block about him. My goodness, he was a Jew. How could a Jew understand that the promised Messiah is here in front of him? No, to the Jews at the time of Jesus' coming down to earth, the scriptures were just a little bit more than just a set of laws to them. Consequently, Nicodemus could not understand the necessity to be born again. He tried to comprehend this in a physical sense, as if a grown man could re-enter his mother's womb. It didn't make sense. But in the verses preceding our text, our Lord Jesus Christ catechizes Nicodemus on the necessity of being born of water and of the Spirit, to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and to become baptized into his saving name, even as all newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. That seal that's placed upon us at our baptism, both upon our head and upon our hearts, means by which the Holy Spirit has come down and has entered into our hearts, creating and sustaining us, saving faith in Jesus Christ. By faith produced through holy baptism, we are born of water and of the Spirit. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In this sacrament of holy baptism, coming up here to the font, the old Adam in each of us is brought down in the holy water to the point that this old Adam drowns and dies. This baptismal drowning must take place each and every day. And it does so by confessing our sins to God our Father. I do. I have to. Chief of sinners though I be. You see, we daily sin an awful lot in what we do and what we fail to do. We deserve nothing but God's temporal and eternal punishment for all of our sins and all of our iniquities which we have ever offended him. We have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed. Those words we just said. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved God, our Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But we surely give in to the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, all of which do not want us to be hallowing God's name. And all of these things, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, don't want God's kingdom to come, nor let his will be done here on earth, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer daily. We've set ourselves up against the God who came down from heaven. And guess what? We think we got it all figured out, don't we? We've lifted ourselves up in our own sinful pride, just as the Israelites did. That's why the Bible is so pertinent for today, maybe even more so. Because our actions today are exactly like that of the Israelites. Lifting their own eyes up to seeing and doing whatever made them feel good. They're moaning and complaining that God, yeah, right, you're going to deliver me. With that stinking manna from heaven. But it made them live. And then they were bitten by fiery serpents. Just as Adam and Eve were spiritually bitten by the great fiery serpent that is the devil himself. You know, the Lord disciplined Adam and Eve by putting them out of the Garden of Eden. He cast down the Israelites with these serpents that bit them, and they died. He beats us down with the preaching of his law. You should feel bad when you hear the law proclaimed. You should feel guilty when you know that you've disobeyed God and his law. That's why it's preached. So many of us are so full of sinful pride. Just as you hear so many folks these days, you know, it's pretty popular. It's pretty convenient. It's pretty awesome to join your friends and say, hey, I've accepted Jesus into my heart. Oh, really? You baptized and redeemed children of God. Jesus is within you now. He always has been, and he always will continue to be with you until the end of the age. So where do you get off thinking you accepting him into your heart is going to make a difference? Rejoice in his presence within you. He who has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts and has put down the mighty from their thrones, as he's brought us down to our knees that we would repent of our sins. For without repentance and faith we are, as Paul says in our epistle, dead in our trespasses. Dead. And as Christ says in our gospel text today, he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates it when the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. It's tough to read that. Because we don't want the light of Christ. We don't want God's light shining on us in the dirty stuff we do in secret, the dirty, nasty things we do with our friends, the terrible things we say about other people. We don't want the light shining on us. And when Christ, the light of the world, comes again on the last day, and then we all confess that all men shall rise again with their bodies and shall give an account of their works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which, except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Little part of the Athanasian Creed. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be unto everyone who is bitten. When he looks at it, shall live. The Israelites were bitten, and they looked at the serpent on the pole, and they were saved. The Israelites, they confessed their sins, and they placed their trust in the Word of God. This Word of God, which was given to Moses, the word to erect a serpent on a pole. They were brought down in their sins, and the Lord lifted them up in what? In His grace, in His kindness, in His love. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In order that Christ would be lifted up, He had to come down. In order that He could be lifted up onto the cross to die the death that we deserved, He had to come down to be with us and to be like a man. He came down from heaven and was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary in order that He would be lifted up upon the cross to die for forgiveness, for life and salvation for us in our sins. His dead, lifeless body was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb in order that He would take it back again by rising from the dead. The Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree as He promised, has drawn us now to Him. Christ, our good shepherd, has laid down His life for us. He's our good shepherd. We are His sheep. No one takes it from Him, but He has laid it down of Himself. He alone has power to lay it down and take it up again. And He has done so for you, the lowly in heart. Because you know the law, it beats you down. You need the gospel. You need to know that Christ lives for you. God is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Until that day, when we will be seated in those heavenly places, our Lord brings those heavenly places down to earth, that we would be with Him as He comes to us in His Word and in His sacraments, His means of grace. They're present here, now. He comes to us in holy baptism, not only to bring down the old Adam in us, but to lift up the new man, to daily emerge and arise, that we would live before God in righteousness and purity forever. He lifts us up each day in the forgiveness of our sins, the daily living of our baptism as we bear the sign of the cross, the seal of Him who died we are marked with the sign of the cross to mark us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. As baptized children of God, we have the privilege of lifting up each other in prayer, praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, and lifting up one another through prayer and hymns and psalms. It's what we discussed in our Bible study this morning. That in whatever vocation you have, we each have the opportunity available to us to share the good news of Christ crucified. Our Lord brings the heavenly places down to earth. Down to us, He brings them to us by angels, by archangels, and all the company of heaven. As He comes to us in His supper, that as the cup is lifted up so that you would taste and see that the Lord is good, and that you would be lifted up to receive the foretaste of the feast to come, that you'd get a glimpse of the heavenly places. For heaven and earth are full of His glory here at His table. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Our rock and our Redeemer, our mighty fortress. For it is by grace you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.